Welcome to the podcast, Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, your host, and our focus is on mastering communication as an essential leadership skill so that you can command the room, connect with the audience, and close the deal in any context. After over 200 episodes, we are a top 1% podcast globally, thanks to you. So if you love listening to these conversations as much as I love sharing them with you, please take 30 seconds to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your platform of choice, or just go to the website ratethispodcast.com/influence and follow their super simple instructions. Now, on with the show. My guest this week is Martha Sharkey. Martha is the founder and CEO of Today is a Good Day, a nonprofit organization providing support for families who experience the NICU with their newborns. The NICU is the neonatal intensive care unit of the hospital. She's had over 20 years of experience in nonprofit leadership, and she's an incredibly proud Penn State alumna who loves giving back to the community. Martha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, what's your fun fact?
Well, I love karaoke. 9 to 5 is my signature song. And Laura, I have to tell you, I was on Oprah's final season, 5 Seconds of Fame in Life. A little clip of my video submission made it onto her show.
Oh my gosh. Tell me that is available on YouTube someplace.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. Maybe somewhere.
Oh my, that's amazing.
It was a long time ago.
Oprah had a karaoke competition?
She had a karaoke contest, and I videotaped myself with my digital camera taped to the dashboard of my 2-door Honda Civic. I videotaped myself driving to and from work, singing segments of 9 to 5, uploaded them all, and ended up picking one segment to submit to Oprah.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. I'm envious, except I would be utterly mortified if Oprah had a clip of me singing anything at this point. I mean, I do love karaoke. Like a lot of people know, I lived in Japan for a number of years. So they kind of don't let you in the country unless you're willing to do a pretty decent amount of it, just shamelessly, regardless of talent. But it's so much fun. That's awesome. All right.
It is fun.
I know what we're going to be talking about after we get done with the interview and stop hitting record. I'm not letting you off till I get to hear a couple of bars. Oh, what fun. Awesome. All right. Well, what's your elevator pitch? Tell us about Today is a Good Day.
Yes. Well, Today is a Good Day is celebrating its 10th anniversary in 2024, which is a huge milestone for us to hit. Our organization provides hope and builds community through personal and financial support for families who experience the neonatal intensive care unit. And we founded Today is a Good Day after our family's personal experience through the NICU back in 2010, when we welcomed identical twin girls at 23 weeks and 5 days. They were very premature. Claire weighed just 1 pound, 2 ounces. Mary weighed just 1 pound, 4 ounces. And we were launched into the NICU. We knew nothing about it. Our daughter, Mary, passed away just 2 weeks later. Claire continued to fight. She beat the odds. She came home after 103 days in the NICU.
Wow.
And it was after that extended stay, we saw this gap in care for parents and caregivers.
Yeah.
So my husband and I founded Today is a Good Day to try and help fill that gap with resources and programs for families. And it's just grown so much over the past 10 years.
Oh my goodness. And your daughter, she's still home with you?
Yes, she is 13 years old. She loves to sing. She's in all of the play productions. She's just wonderful. I always say she's my walking, talking miracle.
Yes, absolutely. Well, so happy to hear that she is home and she's well. Has she learned 9 to 5?
She is a good singer. She just sang at our recent 10th anniversary gala. She sang Over the Rainbow for the 300 guests
at
the gala.
Was there any dry eye in the room?
I don't think so. It was pretty magical.
I mean, I'm like welling up just thinking about it
in
the first place.
Yes.
And of course, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. And it's been truly a labor of love. We've expanded our work serving families at one hospital when we started and now serving families at 29 hospitals and organizational partners across 7 states.
Wow, that's amazing. And the name, Today is a Good Day, where did that come from?
Such a great question. Early on in our NICU journey, as you can imagine, with 1 pound babies, we had a lot of bad days and difficult moments as a family. Anytime the doctors and nurses would come to us and say, today is a good day for Claire, or at the beginning, today is a good day for Mary, we always rejoiced and we would write that in our journal at the top of our daily entry into our family's journal to keep track of what was going on through the NICU experience.
Yeah.
And those good days and those good moments are really what got us through. So we always talk to families about celebrating those good milestones, those good minutes, those good days, good hours with your baby in the NICU.
Yes, every minute that you get to spend with them is a good minute. For perspective, anybody out there who didn't quite process the number, a 1 pound baby coming out, 1 pound is basically a large potato.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about, fitting in the palm of your hand.
And Claire actually dropped from her 1 pound, 2 ounces to 15 ounces on day 3 of life. So she had a very difficult prognosis.
Oh, my goodness. Whew. Well, let's go into the good part of today is a good day. Yes. And the incredible work that you're doing with others and the leadership communication lessons that you have learned on that journey that you can now share with all of us, regardless of what industry or role that we happen to be in. And from that, what's the most important leadership communication lesson that you had to learn, and how'd you learn it?
Well, I'll tell you what comes to mind for me. Growing from one hospital to 29 hospitals and organizational partners is not just me.
Sure.
And we have built out the staff over the past 6 years when we first hired our first employee, other than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then our team has grown to now having a team of 7. And a big leadership communication lesson, I think, is figuring out how, as a founder of an organization, and how I was looking at giving up and helping to encourage my team members to continue living the mission of today is a good day. So hiring new team members, helping to build a culture within today is a good day, and also guiding them to resolve issues that come up, right? Mm. And helping them to figure out, okay, I can take care of this program and I know how to answer this question, and helping to support them along that journey.
So I want to dig into something that you said a moment ago. I believe what I heard was how, as a founder, to get them to continue living the mission every day.
Yes.
You know, we talk about culture, we talk about all those kinds of things, but living the mission daily, what does that entail?
Well, for us, we really go back to our values as an organization, which are highlighted on our homepage of our website. Our vision, our mission are there as well. But it's really how we interact with families every day. We interact with donors. We interact with volunteers on a daily basis. A few of our values that we had are create community, be inclusive, lead with empathy.
Mm.
For sure, in the line of work that we are helping families who are navigating some of the most difficult days of their lives. And I believe that team members, when you're the founder of an organization, it's very easy for team members to come to you and say, okay, well, what do you want to do with this, Martha? How do you want to solve this problem? How do you want to fix this? I have shared with the team that I cannot resolve issues for them, Laura, that they have to come to me with a solution.
Yeah.
And I will provide feedback. And if I resolve the issue, I have to put a dollar in the jar because I have gone back on my word of solving the problem for them.
I love it. The dollar in the jar. Like if I do this, I have to put the dollar. I'm not allowed to do it for you.
Exactly. I am not allowed to resolve the issue.
What an interesting accountability detail.
It is, but I think it has been, we've kicked off the new year with this whole concept, and it's been wonderful to see the team continue to grow in their roles and also continue to take me out of some of the weeds of the programs and the events and the details that really started with my husband and me and a few of our volunteers early on. That's not where we are today.
Yeah.
And I have to be willing to grow with how the organization is growing.
Always a challenge, isn't it? To learn to let go and just delegate. But I love that you've got your own little checks and balances, dollar by dollar system in place for it.
Yes.
Now tell me about a time when you made the wrong call and had to fix it. Who'd you approach first and what did you say to them?
Well, thinking about this, I look at how we started today as a good day.
Mm.
And I look back thinking and I never like to use the word should, but looking back, I would have gotten buy-in from our hospital partners earlier on.
Mm.
When we founded Today is a Good Day, my husband and I are both working full-time. We ran the organization on the side. We raised some funds to get started. We did our first few care packages and started handing them out to our original flagship hospital partner. But we were giving our programming away for free,
mm.
which isn't sustainable.
Right.
And so at some point when we worked on our strategic plan in 2018, we said, well, we have to look at how we're sustainable.
Yes.
And we started to get buy-in from the hospital partners to bring our programming to their NICU families, to partner with them to support their families.
Yes. And so did it feel weird to go back to them where you'd been just like, hey, we're going to give all this stuff for free, saying we kind of want to charge you for it now, or we need to ask you for something in return? Was that an awkward conversation to have?
Laura, I would say not for me. My background's in fundraising, so I'm always happy to do the ads. But I think it was a conversation, and knowing the hospital partners that we were working with, I was very honest with them. I said, we want to continue supporting your families. The way that our model is set up, it's not sustainable. Yeah. So in order for us to be sustainable and to be here in 10 years, we need your buy-in. Let's share the cost of what this looks like.
Yeah.
And we got good feedback from it. And we continue to improve and grow and expand and look at how our programs are being delivered. But it was a start. So looking back, I would have started valuing our programs earlier on when we founded the organization.
That's such a hard lesson for so many, especially small business owners.
Yes.
And particularly those in the service industries, I think, to be able to ask for what you're worth, to be able to even put a dollar value on it, and then to ask, because we're there to help people. So we kind of feel guilty asking for money to help. So that's a perfect example. You know, what is sustainable? It's great if I keep helping you, but nobody's paying my mortgage.
No, and I do think there's something to be said. And that's where I think this story is so important, because it does relate to not only, you know, we have a nonprofit organization
right.
that we run as a business, but it's just like a small business.
Sure.
And someone getting started will want to give their programming away to be able to get reviews or be able to start building mm-hmm. a foundation. And I think there is something to be said for giving a discounted rate or starting out to be able to build some of the base of word of mouth, but make sure you know your value and continue to push that value out to those that you are trying to get to work with you.
Absolutely. Great advice. And now what about an opportunity that you missed because you held back? Why did you hold back? And if you could have a do-over, what would you have done differently?
I would have hired another person sooner, Laura. Mm.
Okay. Sooner than what? Meaning another additional to your current team or just your very first employee?
Our first employee, aside from me.
Yep.
Looking back, that was a huge milestone to hit.
Mm.
And it was a big leap of faith. I was our main fundraiser. And I thought, well, now I have someone else I'm responsible for. So I better make sure that we are raising funds, that we are expanding our hospital partnerships, that we are reaching more families, and that we are in this and we are doing this because we have another employee. However, what we saw as an organization was once our first employee came on board, we continued to grow.
Yes.
When we brought our second employee on board, we grew even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because the focus on advancing the mission split between the two, the three of us, now allowed us to meet with new hospital partners, have a better way to create our process of how we delivered services. It created an infrastructure that allowed for sustainability and expansion.
Right.
And looking back, I may have hired someone earlier than we did. Mm. And it was my best friend from Penn State who said, all right, it's time to do this. We are hiring a second person. She helped to write our first strategic plan. And she has always been the one who has pushed me in so many ways, but it was the best decision that we made.
That's awesome. That's great. And it's such a hard trigger for small businesses to pull, to justify the commitment to the expense. And of course, the releasing the control, because
yes.
you're used to doing all of those things. You know how you like it done. You know your standards, but your time is better spent elsewhere.
Well, and what I'll add to that is, what do you need the help with? Mm. So when we hired someone, I knew that I needed help with program management, mm. of delivering our services, of helping to communicate with the hospital partners that we had. So the job we created was an operations role,
mm.
because that's the support I needed so that I could get back out doing my main role, which was fundraising, building hospital partnerships. And so figuring out where your gaps are, and that could be a contracted employee, a 1099, as I've hired over the years, a part-time employee to start. We have moved so many employees from part-time to full-time just to see how much is really needed.
Yes. Okay. Then tell me about a time when you decided to take a big risk. What was at stake and how did you communicate your decision to your key stakeholders?
Well, we were just talking about hiring a second employee. Mm-hmm. The time I became the first employee of Today is a Good Day, that was the biggest risk that I would say that I've taken.
Because you mentioned that you had a full-time job and this was kind of a side gig, so to speak. And then it was a question of turning it full-time?
Yes. Our organization was officially founded in May of 2014. It had been steadily growing for 1, 2, 3 years. And my husband and I were getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night. Oh. We're filling care packages because we needed to get them to the hospitals. Oh. And finally, we had a real heart to heart. And we had a 3-year-old at home, and Claire was around, I guess, gosh, 7 by that time. Mm. And we had a real heart to heart and said, okay, well, if we want this organization to go in the direction that we think we want it to go in, we need to have someone who's fully dedicated to it. And I took a huge leap of faith to step down from my full-time role. I had a great role as director of the business district in Chestnut Hill in Philadelphia, stepped down and focused on Today is a Good Day full time. We created a strategic plan from 2018 to 2020 to build out our board, create our event schedule, look at our grant applications, how we were going to bring in revenue and help our expansion program, all of those different components. And so that really was a huge risk to take.
How did you bring it up to your boss and just let him know you were leaving?
Yes, we have dear friends over in Chestnut Hill who are property owners, and they're just wonderful people. And we had gone out to dinner with them. They were some of the first that I had told that I was stepping down from Chestnut Hill. And I was so nervous for the conversation with him because to this day, he was on our board early on and just one of my most favorite people. So we're sitting at dinner and I said, big news to share. I'm stepping down from my role in Chestnut Hill. And he took a glass of water and he put his finger into it and he pulled it out, meaning that the hole just fills up. The water just goes back in. That life continues to move on. And he said it not in a way to make me feel bad, to say, well, what you did didn't matter. And okay, no big deal that you're leaving. He just was saying, you got to do what you need to do. And if this is a good opportunity for you, Chestnut Hill will continue on. Someone will take your role just as you took the role from someone else. And to this day, it is an image that always comes to mind for me.
It is really hard to feel like, well, if I leave, what'll happen to the other organization? And yeah, okay, it'll be hard, but
keeps moving forward.
It will keep moving forward. Life moves on. So, and I think that's a good lesson in both humility and encouragement for all of us who are thinking about, well, can I afford to leave X and move on? And what if, and your role, and nope, you'll be okay. Do what you need to do. Love it. Okay. I think it's time for our listener 24-hour influence challenge. So this is a chance for you, Martha, to challenge the audience to take one step that they can complete within 24 hours to have more influence. How would you like to challenge our listeners today?
Well, I'm going to give the listeners a very personal challenge, Laura. So we talk a lot about our organization, and I mentioned that one of our key values is lead with empathy. And empathy is really trying to help us be where someone else is at this time. So I am going to challenge the listeners to think about someone that you know within your network of family or friends who might be going through a difficult time, who might have just received a diagnosis, who maybe just experienced loss, a child loss or a parent loss, and you're in a spot where you just don't know what to say to them, so you really haven't reached out. And I'm going to encourage you to think about that person and to call them. Pick up the phone, reach out to them, and the simplest words that you can say as a lost mom of 2 babies, is, I don't have the words for you, but I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Acknowledgement means so much to someone who is going through a difficult time, or for us, our journeys with pregnancy and child loss. When someone acknowledged it for me, that just meant the world. So I'm giving you this simple phrase, call the person that you're thinking of. I don't have the words for you, but I just want you to know I'm thinking about you.
I love the pure simplicity of that, because I think more than, you know, we have all these silly labels of introvert, extrovert, who's blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to something that's truly, there's difficult and then there's heartbreaking. The more difficult a situation becomes, the more we don't know what to say, don't want to say the wrong thing, don't want to feel awkward. There's that tension. And we just turtle up, you know, sort of pull into our shells and just don't want to look, don't want to talk, don't know where to go. And those are the situations when people need someone to reach out the most, because it is inevitably when most people pull away.
Yes.
And the beauty and the permission, I appreciate you giving us permission to say, I don't know what to say, that that is an answer unto itself, that yes. is an offering, that is an outreach, and to be able to say nothing more than, but I'm thinking about you, or but I'm here for you. And then stop talking. That's enough. They will respond somewhere from there, and maybe the conversation will only last another 30 seconds. Maybe it'll go longer, but that's enough, and it will be well received. Is that accurate? Did I hear that right?
Yes. Well, you and I could have a whole other podcast episode on this, but yeah. that is so important. It's not you solving a problem for someone else. Sometimes it's just being with someone else. And I oftentimes say, we just talked about making the phone call, but if you have somebody going through a hard time, they're probably not going to reach out to you to say what they need. So do what's in your heart.
Yes.
I oftentimes say you can't do the right thing wrong. I heard that from the same friend who put his finger in the water. But what that means is if you in your heart say, oh, I know this friend's going through a hard time, I should send them a meal, or I should drop off some flowers for them, or I should just give them a call and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 and yes, right? Yep. Or I should go pick up their kids and take them and babysit them for a couple hours so they can have some rest.
Yep.
And just say, I'm coming.
Yes.
Don't let me know when I can help, but I'm going to come pick them up on Saturday at 2 so that you have some time to rest. Taking those steps of acknowledgement and just being there for a person in that next level way means so much.
And if you can do something big, like drop off a meal, like pick up the kids and give them an hour to run an errand, to take a nap, to do whatever it happens to be, to have a good cry, great. But if not, the text message can be okay.
Yes.
Just letting someone know that's there. You know, I have many people out there know my cousin was killed in one of the towers on 9/11. And you know, when it's his birthday and on 9/11 each year, it's when I just send a short message, whether it's email or text or whatever, to my aunt, his sibling, my other cousin, to my uncle, and just letting them know. It's almost the same message every year, which is exactly that. Just thinking of him, love you all. That's it. And we had a conversation not long ago just saying, thank you, because so many others have moved on at this point.
Yes.
But the loss is as present every day as it was on that first day.
Yes.
The emotion has subsided out of it to an extent. Of course, you learn to move on and to live life, but the pain is still there. The gap is still there. And so knowing that somebody else remembers them too, that they're important.
I love to call those the small moments in life, because people do move on. And when you remember, it means the world to someone. I have a friend who sends a letter on the anniversary of our daughter passing away. And we also lost a son to trisomy 18 just 6 years ago. But she sends a card, a thinking of you card, every November. Doesn't say much, just says thinking of you and sweet Mary and William. Love, Gigi.
Yeah.
For 9 years. Well, now it's 13. But she has sent a card every single year. And those small moments, I look forward to it. I know it's coming, because it's just remembering.
Yes. It's small details. So for anybody out there who's going, well, but I don't want to bring up something sad, if there's no reason to bring up something sad, if we're having a conversation, or I don't want to make them sad, or I don't want to dig for drama, what would you say to them?
We always remember. So if you acknowledge and remember, it means a lot to us. I will never forget that our daughter Mary passed away the Sunday after Thanksgiving on November 28th. Or that our son William was born December 17th of 18 and passed away shortly after. Mm. But when someone else remembers and said, hey, I'm just thinking about William's birthday today, that means a lot to us, because we don't forget.
And what are the odds for those who are going, but if I open the door, am I going to get sucked into a really long, sad story?
Well, if you are, lead with empathy. Sit, listen, and just take it in from your friend. That's what I would say. But most likely, I think a lot of people will say, thank you so much for remembering, because not a lot of people do. So the importance of being there in those small moments is key.
And so from there, tell me about a communication skill that you weren't born with and had to learn.
Thinking on the spot, Laura, that is something I oftentimes joke, because my mother and my brother are very, very good at it. Arguments at our house growing up, I always lost, because my brother was so good at getting in that first word and thinking on his feet and just getting that done. My mom has been an educator for over 40 years. She also is very good at that. So I would say that is one that I was not skilled with, but experiences give you ways to kind of grow in certain areas, right? So as director of the business district in Chestnut Hill, we had a lot of media that came out to the Avenue to do live shots for Holidays on the Hill or a 20th anniversary for the Garden District, Harry Potter Festival, all different things over the years. That taught me to think on my feet and I think provided such a wonderful groundwork moving forward with our work with Today is a Good Day as well to be able to do those live shots. And one of the biggest lessons that I've learned over the years, I still am working to get better at it every day, but are the sound bites.
Yes.
So if you're being interviewed for a story, I know when I've been interviewed for a story, remembering to keep your answer short, concise, and to get to the point quickly, especially on news interviews and in written articles.
And it's such a great skill, not just for, because most people out there will say, well, when am I going to be interviewed on TV or for newspaper? Doesn't matter. Practice, because sound bites are always useful. I don't know anybody who would say, you know, I appreciate you making that point in 9.5 seconds, but could you spend 3 more minutes just using more words to say the exact same thing? If they want more information, they'll ask for more information, but not more words to make the point. So learning to distill it down, man, that is an incredibly powerful skill set. So if you've learned that, kudos to you.
Well, and I would say newspaper articles in particular, if you're having a piece written about you or written about the organization, I've gotten caught with articles where I read it after it goes to print and I go, oh, they did not pull out of that interview what I thought they were going to pull out of that interview.
Yes.
And that goes back to making sure, one, if you can get the questions ahead of time just to have an idea of what's going to be asked, but two, short, concise, to the point words that I've wanted to use to make sure that you're given the right answers.
Yes. Yes. And I'm recalling pain in the moment. There was a years ago in Philadelphia, DeBruno's Gourmet Cheese Charcuterie, whatever store opened up in Center City, their new big store. And I was there for opening day and I chatted with a reporter from the Inquirer. And, you know, we talked for probably 10 minutes and she's jotting down all sorts of notes and we're just conversing about gourmet this and different kinds of imported that's. And honest to God, when I read the article the next day, the only quote that she took, apparently verbatim, I vaguely remember saying it along the way, but it was just, it's such in passing. All she wrote was, "I'm a cheese person," said Laura.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, did she? And you know, the only person who actually quoted that article to me was my dissertation advisor when I was doing my graduate studies. And I thought, I am utterly mortified. Like I said so many other things that could have made me sound smart. No, she took none of them. According to the world, I'm a cheese person.
That is a great example.
Yes.
Great example.
Thank you for allowing me to emote and to, okay, I'm back. Let's, but yes.
You learned from it though, right?
Oh,
you learned from it.
Yes. So sound bites, especially with newspaper reporters, because they can only fit little teeny weeny chunks of speech into the columns anyway. So give them what you want them to say, or they will come up with their own. And its chances are not what you're going to want.
Totally
public agree. Service announcement of the day. Thank you, Martha. Tell me about a time.
We've tapped into a couple things today.
My gosh.
I'm really excited about
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. And cheese is a good thing. Don't be a cheese person. I mean, cheese, that's, yeah.
I'm a cheese person too, Laura.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So we're bonding as over cheese. That's awesome.
Yes.
We'll get some wine with that and have a really great evening. Over
and
karaoke. Yes. All right. We'll figure out, everybody get on the mailing list and we'll let you know where the party's going to be next time. Lastly, finish the sentence. I wish I was better at explaining what to whom.
Oh, I feel like we've talked about it just a little bit ago, but I'm going to come back to this for that personal connection with family, friends, colleagues. I wish I was better at explaining the importance of acknowledgement to someone who hasn't gone through a difficult situation or a similar situation or has trouble relating with someone who has. We talked about it a lot and went down a lot of different conversation paths, but I will say that is so important. Acknowledgement, acknowledgement, acknowledgement. And I'll share a personal story on that.
Yeah.
In 2018, we found out we were expecting our fourth child, a son. My husband was very excited. And at 14 weeks gestation, we learned that our son, William, was diagnosed with trisomy 18, which is a very difficult prognosis, chromosomal abnormality. So we knew based upon his prognosis, he was going to pass away after he was born, if he made it to live birth. I was able to carry him until 34 weeks. We had 91 minutes with him before he passed away. Ugh. But that pregnancy was truly the most difficult chapter of my life. Beyond the NICU, what we had experienced with Claire and Mary, it was very, very hard. And one of the hardest pieces, I remember being at a party where almost everyone who was there knew what was going on with our family and knew what was happening with William. And I was visibly pregnant and no one said anything to me.
Mm.
And it goes back to our previous conversation around feeling uncomfortable and not sure what to say. And all I really wanted was someone to come up and say, "Mart, I'm just thinking about you. You know, I know you all are going through a tough time. I don't know what to say to you. I don't have the words for you, but I want you to know I'm thinking about you." That's what I wanted someone to say in that moment, because there weren't words. It was a really difficult time.
Yeah.
But acknowledgement is just so important.
There's that massive elephant in the room and no one wants to bring the party down. No one wants to make you sad, mm-hmm. but there's still that palpable tension of, I feel like I should do something. I feel like I should say something. And you're there, God love you, with the smile plastered on your face for this party, which I'm sure was difficult in itself.
Yes. Yeah, it was a hard time, hard chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing those lessons. And again, reiterating, reinforcing the importance and the value and how much it's appreciated by those who are struggling with those times, upcoming, current, or past, just the acknowledgement and that it's never too late.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
It's never too late. And even if something that was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and you never said it then or haven't said it since, it's still okay to say, you know what? I should have said this then.
Yes.
I should have said it since. So I'm saying it now. You could say, I hope it's not too late. And I can't imagine anybody who would say it is.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, oh my goodness. Martha, thank you so much for this very heartfelt lesson in communication. How can people learn more about you and Today is a Good Day?
Yes. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be on your show. What an honor. Really appreciate it. And so glad our paths crossed.
Yes.
Through mutual connections. Just wonderful. But to learn more about Today is a Good Day, please visit todayisagoodday.org. You can also follow us on Instagram at NICU Today, on Facebook at NICU Today, and also on LinkedIn at Today is a Good Day. And of course, you can follow our podcast at NICU Today, available on all podcast platforms. We talk about different experiences that NICU families have. We speak with pediatricians, OBGYNs, and so many more. It's a great opportunity to learn more.
And of course, we'll put all of those links in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. And to everybody else out there, thank you as always for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you love the show, once again, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your platform of choice so we can help even more people to increase their confidence, presence, and influence. And if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to the website ratethispodcast.com/influence and follow their super simple directions. And finally, of course, if you want to download my free guide to equipment recommendations for virtual influence, including my picks for microphones, lights, and more, go to speakingtoinfluence.com. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, and you're listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite.
Thanks for listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite, the show for leaders who want to speak with impact. The hosts, producers, owners, and media distributors of the show make no guarantees that the strategies and information discussed will result in profit or other success and may result in losses. The opinions and statements of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the owners, staff, managers, broadcasters, or sponsors of the show. No medical or psychological therapy or personal or professional wellness or relationship advice is offered in the show. You are advised to seek counsel on matters related to your health, family, relationships, job, or other business and legal matters from licensed advisors in those areas prior to making any changes in business or lifestyle. No information provided may be suitable in your situation. As always, take responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the reactions they may make in your work, family, health, and life.